Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today, we have a guest from a land that we have not spoken to before. So, welcome, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you, Ganesh.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm great. Just started my day. Had a short walk and back on here.
Got it. And where are you based out of?
Oh, currently, I'm in Port Harcourt. So, Port Harcourt is in southern Nigeria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it. And do you have access to fresh water?
Oh, oh yeah. You know, funny enough, Nigeria has a lot of, Africa in general has a lot of perception. So I actually do. So like, do I have rain? There's rain falling, a really good rain. Then nice. Apart from that too, like where I stay, each house has like a borehole. Mm-hmm. Borehole. So there's this central water supply that's there, mm-hmm. but each house has a borehole. So like we just drill into the ground, and you have mm-hmm. your pump, and you have tanks, storage tanks.
Got it.
So practically every house has that. Yeah. So we have fresh water from there.
Nice. Yeah. If you said you did not have water, UN would be contacting you. We would definitely FedEx you some water.
No, don't mind them. They're actually here. They just I just see them driving around with their SUVs and not doing much else.
What about food?
Oh yeah. For food. It's actually we grow most of the things we consume mm-hmm. here. Yes. Yeah. We grow most of the things we consume here.
So you do have food, right?
Yeah.
So to my friends, to my Western friends, guys, don't worry. You can have your food, right? If you don't like the food, you could probably waste it because, the rest of the world, you know, me being a representative from Asia, right? And Peter being representative from Africa, I think we are good.
Very good, right. Very good. Because actually, I used to live in the UK for a while.
I know where you're going.
Yeah.
I know where you're going.
And a lot of people ask that, how do you this? And I actually prefer living here because when I look at it, the cubicle sized house I used to pay for back in the UK, I have a two-bedroom, I have a large two-bedroom apartment here with a garden mm-hmm. and everything. My rent for a year here is like, mm-hmm. less than a month for what I was paying in the UK.
Nice. Yeah. So I would say we are living better lives.
Yeah, right? It is. But most people don't understand it. And I'm actually very relaxed. My blood pressure is very low. No stress.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about being mugged at least.
Yeah, mugged and taxed to Brits.
Yes. That is a point. That's a valid point, actually. Yeah. And at least you don't have to pay for your own operation. Right?
No.
Yeah. Man, if I had any British listeners today, I lost them. Right? They're like, you're making fun of our miserable, you know, conditions.
No, actually, my friends in the UK, most of them, they complain about the same thing. First of all, about the weather. The weather is the British weather. It's just, it has a mind of its own. Like I know when I used to live there, if it's summer, if it's winter, if it's autumn, take your jacket mm-hmm. out because the weather can just change in seconds.
Yeah.
So the weather was just the first problem. Then I think,
Yeah, man. So
it's just grey and miserable, and they agree with me.
Just agree.
They agree with me.
Yeah. They're like, you have seen it too, you know. because I've never been to UK. So, you know, if someone's, you know, if I said something, they'll be like, you've never been to UK. But in your case, they cannot say that, right? They're like,
they can't.
Yeah, man, you've been there. Yeah. But I feel like Nigeria is one of those underrated countries in the world, which has rapid growth and potential. But I also feel good that it is underrated. Right? Because you know, I feel like India and Nigeria are like very similar, even in culture, right? Because yeah. we have had those exchanges before we both became slaves, right? And
yeah.
that kind of, you know, sink in culture. Yeah, because, you know, even in, I have Nigerian friends over here. And they're like, yeah, you know, like Indians are just Indians. Like we know them. It's not like somebody from, you know, a different country as such.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think... Right, the way that we look at development is reversed when it when, in terms of countries.
When we look at development, especially for let's say India, Nigeria, Lebanon, countries on this on that same level, one thing I tell people is that these countries are really young countries. Mm-hmm. They are really yeah. new countries, yes. Because like Nigeria had its independence in 1960, so that's just roughly like. Mm-hmm. 60 years ago. Nigeria is a 60-year-old country.
Yeah, India is like 75. So
the country that compared to US had their independence 1770.
Yeah, yeah.
It right. is your 75-year-old country to a 200-year-old country. Because I tell people yeah. that if you look at 60-year-old America, it was worse than mm-hmm. or Nigeria right now. You had the
yeah.
plague, you had people dying on the roads, you had the wild, wild west, you had everything going crazy. You go to the UK, you read the story of Oliver Twist, you read the story of the chimney sweeps. The places were dreadful when they were as young as these places. So that's one thing I say yeah. that we are at this, a different level of development, and that gives you a lot of advantages too, because if you have... Mm-hmm. a country with so many things that can be fixed, so many problems, then you're just living in a
yeah.
you have so many years. And mm-hmm. you now have the population, the really smart, educated, large population there.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So many
but
advantages.
I also feel like, right, Europe, you know, if you forget Europe and I'm you know, Northern America, right?
Yeah.
And when it comes to Africa and Asia, we don't have homelessness as such, right? It's just because of our traditional and our family
yes.
values.
Yes.
And therefore, we don't pay for our own oppression in a way. Right? Because city
yeah.
of California has like a million homeless people.
I think I used to live in Leicester in the UK. When I was living in Leicester, there was one thing, I think every Monday back then, there was this charity, Feed Leicester. So I used mm-hmm. to here too. We used to what they used to do was go to the restaurants, their excess food, you go to the Leicester market on Monday evenings, 7 p.m. or so, the homeless people come in there and you share that food to them. I used to volunteer there. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really shocking. It's something that when I tell people back in Nigeria, they're really shocked. They're like, what? That happens? Yes. Because and then I used to talk to a lot of these people who are homeless. And when you look at it, it's actually really, really, really easy to become homeless mm-hmm. there, because
yeah.
let's say you pay your, I talked about the rent not long ago, mm-hmm. you pay that rent every month, and that rent is like maybe half or three quarter of your salary that
yeah.
you collect every month. And as you pay that rent every month, let's say a lot of these people, maybe they lost their job, they couldn't find a job for like 2-3 months, and you're homeless.
Yeah.
And once you're homeless, it's a problem, because when you're applying to jobs, when you're banking, your everything is linked to an address. When you get homeless, you no longer have an address. So it makes it harder
yeah.
to get a job. It makes, so you get a lot of, maybe they lost a job for like 2-3 months. They get homeless.
Yeah.
It transforms into maybe 2-3 or more years homeless just mm-hmm. the way the system is built. And like you said, it's different with
yeah.
us, with India,
right.
with Nigeria. Yes, you can't. Mm-hmm. First of all, the housing is a lot cheaper, first of all. And apart from that too, you're living among your people. We have a different tradition. You can just go to
yes.
I have a spare room in my house. So
yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's also like, we are also a capitalistic country, right? But our capitalism works in a very different way, because
yes.
I feel like we are very cost conscious. Right? Like, people don't give a shit about premium. Right?
Yes. And I think another thing, so we are very independent, because like
yes.
I tell people in Nigeria, in Nigeria, we are typically, each person, okay, I told you about the water, that each person has their own borehole. Yeah. So you build a house, you sink, you drill a borehole. Uh-huh. That's the same thing. Yeah. For light, for power, I have my own solar system. So right now I'm on solar. I have solar panels, I have a battery. So I'm typically, I tell people that in this country, we are typically our own governments. I provide my own power, I provide my own water, I provide my own security. We don't really care that much about the government. We are not really dependent on the government. Most things we provide for ourselves. But in these Western places, a lot of what you want is dependent on the government. Lots. Right. So you go to a country, if there's a power cut, you're screwed.
Yes. Yeah,
if the public water goes off, you're finished. Mm-hmm. I think there was a time when I, in Coventry, that was some years ago, I can't remember what happened, but the water went off. We didn't know what to do. And it was winter.
Oh God! Yeah. That is true. But also, I feel like the Western capitalism is very different, right? Like they look to make money on everything.
Yes, even Britain. Right?
Britain especially. But screw them, they fucked us for 200 years, so screw them kind of. But I also feel bad for people, right? Because they charge even for small things. Peter, it was like, until like 2 years ago, I did not know. I have like cousins who live in United States, right? I did not know that when a baby is born, right, the first contact with the mother, you know, skin-to-skin contact, they charge $30 to $100 for that.
Like that your was, own child or your borrowed child.
No, your own child. Yeah. So the child that you literally, right, you know, worked hard for 9 months to keep safe, and you worked hard for its birth, and for that child to touch your particular skin, you need to pay hospital for like $30 to $100.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I mean, what more could you make money on? Right? Like right now, I think it's Vancouver. Like they have a tax called as rain tax. Yeah. If you told to less developed countries, right, that you need to start paying rain tax, there'd be a revolution. Right?
Yeah.
Or the they would be just blatant. You know what? I'm not going to pay. What are you going to do?
Yes, exactly.
And government
would be like... I think they had that in Kenya recently, where they tried to tax them and the whole country. I think they're still protesting till now, probably.
Yeah, man. I mean, we have... less authorities, right? And a common man has more control over their own lives.
Yes.
Because our communities are still stronger.
Yes. Right? Yes.
The breakdown of, joint families and, you know, the basic culture of Western, you know, citizens, and which resulted in like nuclear families, right? You cannot administer control or power in a nuclear family. They're just like four people.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. But whereas, you know, when you are living in a joint family or your community is very strong, right, government cannot do much about it.
Yes. And I think that was one of the biggest things that made me make the decision to spend more of my time in Nigeria. That was during the pandemic, the COVID pandemic. In the UK, it felt like prison, literally. Yeah. The pandemic, the lockdown, you couldn't move, everybody was monitoring you. And then I come back here, we had lockdowns, but I go in my car, I go buy whatever I want to buy, I come back and nobody really cares. I'm like, so what am I doing in prison if I'm free? Like, I'm literally free. Like, we're in lockdowns, but they were not, I didn't feel jailed, I didn't feel locked up or anything. Yes. Yeah,
because even in India, it was the same thing, right? Like at the starting, everybody was scared of COVID.
Yeah.
But when the second time came and they were like, you know, lockdowns and villages were like, fuck you, man. I'm going on my, you know, thing. I'm doing my thing, you know, like.
You want me to die at home?
Yeah. I just don't want to. I just don't feel like doing it. So they were like, yeah, I'm just not interested in following your, you know, rules. And I feel like that's why India is more of an authoritative democracy, because we are just assholes, man. We will not listen to you. Yeah, because governments in India have worked very hard to make people follow rules. People just don't like rules. Yeah, maybe it has to do with the colonial experience. But
no, it's the same thing when you look at the US from the past. You know, all this, First Amendment, Declaration of Independence, it's the same thing. It's the way they started. Because when they, if you hear of the Boston Tea Party, I think they had a war. Even the independence happened because the British colonialists tried to tax tea. And the tax was a very small percentage.
It was like 2%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the same thing I say about the age of the country. We are at that stage.
Yes. We are in that stage.
Yeah. Now they're taxing them 50-60% and nobody's talking.
Right. Yeah. Correct. Exactly. But I don't feel that, underdeveloped countries could ever tax that kind of money.
No.
Because people would just not pay.
Yeah, because what are you doing for me? I'm providing my light, my water, and you want to tax me for what?
Exactly. Because it would be like existence tax. Right? You have to pay because you exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so you are also a fellow podcaster. So, why did you do it?
Why did I do a podcast? Okay, I think there are two reasons I did it. The first reason is that I felt when I was younger, I was an introvert. What people would usually say back then was they haven't heard me say more than 10 or 20 words. I hardly spoke to anybody. I would rather text. Even in my office back then, I'd rather text someone in the same office with me than talk to them. And that's how I was. But when I started my business Target ICT, first of all, I realized I now had to start going on sales calls because it was different from what I had before. Before, I just had businesses where I put up ads, people buy from the ads. I don't need to know them or talk to them. But this, I'm talking to fellow business owners. They need to know who is dealing with them. They need to know that I know what I'm doing. And then I'll have to get on sales calls. And I'm not... Why do I have to do this? So the podcast, first of all, it was a way to get comfortable doing something I was really uncomfortable doing, which is something like this, talking to a stranger online. That was one. Then the second thing was that from businesses I did before and with Target ICT, I would usually put up blog posts for two reasons. First of all, to refer people to, maybe they ask a question, I'm like, okay, we made a blog post on this, go and read it and you'll get everything about this question. And secondly, to drive traffic to the business, because the same way people want to answer those questions, they would also search online and find our blog post and everything. So yeah, so I did it for different businesses, also for Target ICT. So, but when I did the blog post, I realized that during the pandemic, I started listening to podcasts. I used to read blog posts, other blog posts, but I'll just skim, go to the end. I'm like, okay, I'm good. But for podcasts, I put a podcast in my earphones. And 2-3 hours, I'm listening to everything. I'm driving, I'm walking, I'm listening to everything. I'm like, wait, this thing has my full attention. So why don't I use those blog posts as podcast episodes? So at least anybody listening will at least get the full value of it rather than skim like I do. So yeah, so that was the second reason why I started the podcast here.
Okay, so not because you had a lot of time. Like me.
It's draining. It's actually draining, actually.
Yes. Podcast is draining, but it's also fun for me at least.
It is.
Because I am a very weird kind of human. I like to talk to new people every day. Right? That is exactly what my parents taught me to. Do not talk to a stranger.
And, right? And you decided to be a rebel.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I decided to be the black sheep of my family. I'm like, yeah, let me talk to strangers all day long, you know. Yeah. But also, I feel like the reason that podcasts work is it demands less attention. Right. If you watched a video, you'd have to. Ironically, my podcast is also on video, like on YouTube. But, you know, when if you listen to me on Spotify or Amazon, wherever you want, right, you're just doing anything, you know, and it's just in the background.
Yes. Right.
Like all the, you know, stress and tensions in life, like in the background, you know, the podcast is also in background. So I feel like it demands less attention. And once you, once you accommodate a particular conversation like we're having, it's very hard for people to break that and hit pause.
Yes.
Because they're just enjoying, you know.
Yes.
So they're like, okay, let me listen to this. Right. Yeah. Let me, do you have guests on your podcast?
Oh, yes, I do.
Who was your weirdest guest?
Who was my weirdest guests? You know, I can't really think of any.
Yeah, because you have a very professional podcast, my dude.
Yeah, I think everybody's just put together and being their best selves and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, they are behaving themselves on your podcast.
Yeah, I think, let me see. Okay, I think I had a guest once. I think I had a guest once who kept turning his camera off for some reason.
Nice. Let me try it. Yeah, I just switched it off.
Exactly, something like that.
Okay.
So he did like 3 or 4 times, and I'm like, and I paused the record. And I'm like, okay, what's wrong? And he's like, he's weird, so he's trying to adjust himself.
Nice. Peter, if that's your weirdest guest, you are set, man. You are better than me. Yeah.
What happened to you?
I have had fascists, communists, like, absolutely, like, the outcasts of society on my podcast. I have had telepathic healers, people who are nearly psychotic, you know, people who loved fascism and, you know, Nazi rule. Like, yeah, man, I have had the whole spectrum of people on my podcast. Yeah. Yeah, so if you ask me who was the craziest, I would have to give you an Excel, man, like with probably 20 people.
long list of them.
Yeah, it's a long list of people, I would say. Yeah, but I feel like since you have a very polished and professional podcast, right, do you prepare at all? Like beforehand, do you do your research? Do you send the questions to guests, or what's your process?
Oh, yeah. At first, I used to send questions to guests, but I realized when I ask like maybe 1 to 3 questions, I hear something else that's interesting, and we just leave the questions and we go.
Yes.
And apart from that too, having the questions set, I was always tense. I won't even listen to the guest. I'm waiting for them to finish. I ask the next question. So it was just listening to the episode sounded so off to me. So yes, I changed. This time, I just study up on the guests, read up. Then try to know, okay, what's the best thing my audience would like to know from this person? Mm-hmm. Then I try to have the questions go around that best thing. And I think that works better for me.
Got it. Yeah. Because I feel like, you know, sending questions beforehand is like cheating. Right. But it also stops the conversation from, you know, evolving.
Going off track, yeah.
Right. Because what happens is, you know, you ask for lemons and he said, you know, put the lemon in water. And your next question is, how does lemon taste? Right. Like,
yes,
the connection doesn't really make sense. Yeah, man. But, you know, I'm very lazy, to be honest. You know, I do like 5 to 10 minutes of looking up the person and that's all. Yeah. I don't do much work. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's how I'm able to do like three to four episodes in a day.
Wow. Wow. I think I'll probably quit if I have to do that.
Yeah, because you are my third person today.
Wow. What time is it then?
It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. My first was like 6:30 to 8 in the morning, right? And then one more 10:30 to 12. And next 10 from 12:30 to now. Yeah. So it's like, you know, but what I have observed is, right, when you do multiple guests or episodes in a day, right, the third or the fourth, like the last guest is, whoever it is, right, they benefit the most. Because you have done your warm-ups in the past two, you know, episodes, and you're mindful of mistakes that you're doing. So when you come to the third or fourth, you know, the last guest of the day, you're like, yeah, I'm pretty much set. And the conversation is, I would say, the best. You know, if you want to have that kind of, you know, if you're looking at that kind of point of view. Yeah, so I would say my episodes are better than yours, because I just don't do research, man.
Can I agree with that? Because I think when I come on podcast, I actually don't do research, and I actually enjoy them more, because when I first started going on podcast, that was maybe 7-8 months ago, I'll try to research and I'll try to know what kind of questions I want to answer, and then if I have a podcast by 2 p.m., I won't be able to do any work till 2 p.m. because I'm so tense waiting for the podcast to come up and all that. But these days, I don't even bother myself. I don't look at the podcast. Okay, yeah, I'll talk about it. Yeah, that's fine. And when the podcast comes, I just let it flow. And it's just so much. Like, I think I was walking, and now I check my time. I'm like, come on, I have 5 minutes gone. But I had to run back home and just turned off. If you notice, when we came up, I was trying to set up my lights. So I don't have that pressure anymore. And it's actually so good.
I think I know why that kind of technique works, right? Because if you look at it from a viewer or a listener perspective, right, when they click on the show, right, and if I said fun conversation with Peter, right, they know you as just Peter. They don't know your character, they don't know how you look, how you sound, right? So they are completely empty in terms of your introduction. Right, and if I did my research, I knew who was Peter, right? I listened to like two episodes of you, and then, you know, then I would know, right? Then I am starting this particular conversation from a point of knowing
level.
Sometimes what happens is audience are, you know, they're like, yeah, I cannot connect with you.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That's true.
So that's why I avoid research, and I avoid heavy work before episodes, because I generally know what I'm talking about. I might be ignorant, but I generally know what I'm talking about. And yeah, so that's how it helps me if I don't do research. Because what used to happen is, when I did the research, right, I would be fixated on things. Right? Like, for example, if you gave an opinion that, you know, was wild, I would be hell-bent on getting your opinion on the same thing, because I know it's like you have a different opinion. But what happens is, that's like preposition, right? I've already positioned myself in a particular direction where I will mess up. There is no doubt about it. So I was like, well, no, let me stop this and, you know, have more flowing conversations.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what people like too. So I'm like, thank you for, you know, saving my heart, right?
For agreeing with me.
yes. Yeah. So you're also an entrepreneur, right?
Yes.
You have a business, and you said you had multiple businesses.
At a point.
So how easy was it?
I think having one business is typically the hardest thing anybody would do in their life. Building a business, it's like everything breaks every day, things go wrong every day, and you're supposed to just act cool and calm like nothing's wrong. Then I did that, and at a point I had four of that at the same time, and I was, my life was crazy. Like, I used to leave my house like 6:30. No, I used to get to the office like 6:30 in the morning. I wouldn't get back home before 8 every single day. Like, everything used to go wrong. Like, as I get to the office, I open my email, there's problem. My staff can start coming in like maybe 8-9 o'clock. Oh, this went wrong. And it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was like my blood pressure was literally high then.
Yeah, there is this guy on Instagram. He's a business coach, right? And he himself is pretty rich. So people listen to rich people, right?
Yeah.
He said once, it was very controversial, but he said, running business is like getting pregnant. Everybody congratulates you, but nobody knows how many times you had to get fucked.
He's very right.
Right? Yeah. They would say, yeah, the process is similar.
Yes. And,
you know, yeah. And how many business did it take you, right, to actually learn how to run business in a day-to-day business?
Okay. I think that question is good because you say to actually learn how to run business because the first business I started was 2010. Yeah. That was just me. So it was a web hosting business. It was just me on my bed in my underwear taking payments from everybody.
you're making it sound like OnlyFans.
Selling food photos.
Yes. Yeah.
No, but my feet aren't cute, so I have to sell web hosting.
Yeah.
So I used to work from my bedroom then, and so it wasn't really complicated. So I think that worked, funny enough, because one thing people say is that the first business doesn't really work yeah. for people. That worked, so that gave me the confidence. I started the next one. Next one was a grill. In that business, I had staff. I had staff. So I think that's where what you said, learning how to run a business, came in, because I started that business. It was working. I had at the height, it had about 5 branches. It was working when I was around because every day I used to supervise. Then at a point, that was early 2013, I got a scholarship to go on a master's in the UK. So I had to leave the business. The business was in Nigeria. I had to leave the business, went to the UK. You won't believe that in 3 months, all 5 branches shut down.
They got it.
Stole the hell out of me.
They stole
the hell out of me because back then I didn't know anything about systems. I didn't know anything about processes. I just used to wake up in the morning, take whatever they sold at night, give them money to restock. And I was just balling, enjoying my money and everything. So when I traveled, I'm like, okay, bring records. They tell me, the freezer in this location went bad. So all the stock in the freezer went bad. This location, the manager, there was a problem in the management, so we couldn't sell for a week. All of a sudden, like, I used to collect money every morning, and all of a sudden, nothing is coming in. What's wrong? So at the end of the day, I was in the UK. I had to send my brother to the locations to just pack all my equipment, my freezers, we're doing shawarma. I don't know if you have shawarma in India.
Yeah, we do.
So we were doing shawarma, grilled chicken, all those things. I had to pack my shawarma ovens, everything. Gave some to my mom, gave some to my this thing, sold all the rest, all the equipment. And I was so happy to be free of that business. But I think over time, it made me learn the importance. I think it was around I started another food business in the UK with a friend. So that was delivering Nigerian food in the UK in Wolverhampton. Then I started a fourth food. I think it was at the fourth food business when I did it with two other people. That's when I figured out the importance of having systems, the importance of having processes, the importance of documenting everything. Because I remember back then, In the first, second business, when we were doing shawarma, the first person doing shawarma was awesome. And then I said, okay, let's do shawarma in the second location. And shawarma was tasting like beans.
Yeah, like, nice.
This is shawarma. Why does it taste like cheese?
So
it was in the fourth food business, and I realized that you need to have recipes, you need to have the quantities, you need to have everything, the times they put things on the fire and everything. So this food business, when we had multiple branches, the food was the same taste everywhere. The food was the same quality everywhere, because rather than using the expertise of our chef, they just follow what we've already put down. So we could just hire anybody that just knew how to put things on fire and they'll get something close or something good because we had everything. So I think that's, it was the food business I actually learned. That was 2014.
Do you think that was a business where you understood the difference between a business worker and a business owner? Because you stepped up, everything just got fucked. You're like,
no, I think I used to be, I don't know if I still am, but at that point I still used to be a control freak. So I don't know how to cook. I didn't know how to cook. I still don't know how to cook. So I didn't really bother myself what they were doing. I just made sure they were following these things. But still, I used to go there every day. I still wanted to go there every day. So I think it was going forward after that business I started. No, I think after I had to shut down everything, that's when I realized that I don't really need to just be open to everybody all the time. because that's the reason why going to the office, everybody was bringing their problems to me. Because I just wanted to be, the chief problem solver.
I think it was Warren Buffett. He said that most business owners fail because they operate as a... fire rescue station rather than the, city hall, right?
Yes.
There is no administration, nothing. It's just the business owner, acting as everything.
I'm telling
you. If they had 10 hands, they would have no staff.
They use all of them.
They'd be like, I don't want anybody. I can handle it. So what were the changes, right, that you made in your current business? Because you got your ass kicked in the previous business where you were like, okay, let me improve and bring changes, right? So what were those even minor changes that you might have made in this business, the current business?
So first of all, being that chief problem solver, I got rid of that because before, when everybody wakes up, everybody comes to work, they're like, okay, this is not working, up to the internet is not connecting, and they're like, the internet is not connecting. Like, how is that supposed to be my problem?
Yeah, you would have been like, you sound like my mother.
So one change I made, especially for that, was that when people come with their problems to me, rather than giving them a solution and getting them addicted to getting solutions from me, what I'll do is, I think I learned this from, was it a podcast or something, when I was during COVID time. What I do these days is, okay, come to me with a problem. I'm like, okay, so what are the best three solutions you can give to this problem? The person gives three options they can use to solve the problem. I tell them, okay, so what's the best one? So by the time I ask them what's the best one, they're like, okay, I have the solution actually, so they leave. Honestly, these days I don't really, when you force them to actually think, because most of the time when they come to their problems, they don't want to think, they don't want to stress and stuff, they just want to, just see this problem, it's the owner of the business. But now when I ask them to think of three solutions, and when they know that if they come to me, they're going to think, they just do it themselves, and I think I have a lot less headache. So that's one of the changes. Then second change is documenting everything. Back the food business I talked about before, we had everything on Excel sheets, Google sheets, the recipes, everything. But I think technology has gone forward. These days I do videos. So if it's something I can do, or that I have to do and I have to pass over, especially for my assistants, maybe things I have to do, what I just do is when I'm doing it, I just do a video. I use Loom most times, do a Loom video. Mm-hmm. Okay. talk over the video. This is how I'm doing this. You click here, you click here, you do this, you do that, you do this. I save the video. So if they have questions, if I get a new person, rather than having to teach that person one-on-one, I'm like, okay, this is the list of videos. Go through these videos. If you have any questions, let me know. So if they have any questions, I know that part wasn't well explained. I just do a new video for that one. So I'm at peace.
Yes. So to break your peace, here is my next question, right? How was the transition, right, from being an action taker in your business to being a spectator where you watch your people work, you know, to provide solutions?
It was and it is still difficult.
Dude, you sound like a sport coach. Like, why are you not hitting the goal? Give me the ball. I will show it to you.
It is, because personally, I am a very hands-on person. Like, before I started business, before anything, when I was a child, I used to be this person who would, I used to open up everything, open the TV, open the radio, open the speakers to know what happened. Work to not inside. Even till now, I like the solar system I have. I installed it during this pandemic. I did everything myself. I didn't study electrical engineering or anything. I don't. I just figured it out and just wired them. I think the only thing I called someone to do was to go on the roof, because then I was fat, so I didn't want to fall down the ladder or fall down. Fall down the roof for every single thing, all the wiring I did it myself, and it's been working for 4 years now. So I think
you did a good job.
Yeah, so maybe I should go into that business now. I'm really a very hands-on person. So even till now, even I know I need to leave people, let people do their best work. I need to hire people that are good at what they do. But most times, when I see people doing things their own way, I'm tempted. I want to jump in, but I need to fight myself. I need to.
Have you seen that meme of a Nigerian football coach?
No.
He's training a young guy, and you know, he doesn't kick properly, and he's like, "You are done. You have no future in this sport. Me, with my pregnant tummy, I'm better than you. You have no future." It's like that, you know, like, I feel like that's what business owners go through.
Yes. Right?
It's like, even though your staff is probably better than you, right?
Yes.
But because you hired them, you feel like they're the toddlers, right? And you're the adult. You're like, don't. And don't is a word that people use a lot, I feel like.
Exactly.
In business, at least. Right? More than do, they're like, don't. I once talked to a business owner who said, you know KPI documents, right? When a new person comes in, the, you know, knowledge based transfer, whatever they do to the new employee, and he said, I have more don'ts in there than do's. Like, in terms of crisis, don't do this. So
exactly.
He's like, if I can just tell people not to do something, they will probably figure out what to do. So in your current business, right, what do you offer, and, you know, how does your business work?
Okay, so my current business, when I had those other businesses, the advantage I had in all of them, like I said, I started a couple of food businesses, but I still don't know how to cook to save my life. So the advantage I had in all of them was using technology to have an advantage over other people doing the same thing. So when I started those same businesses, I always made far more money than people doing the same thing. Because, like, for instance, in the food business of 2014, I was using Facebook ads. Then most people were using Facebook ads for their business, and it wasn't as competitive as it is now. Then you just put up a nice food picture, and everybody's buying and struggling to buy. So things like that. Then I was using Google Sheets. It wasn't too popular too. But I was able to, with my other partners, wherever we are, we can just go on Google Sheets and we see what's happening in the business and all that. So I always had this. Then I had a procurement business back in around 2015, where we used to supply chemicals to oil and gas companies. Oil and gas is really big in Nigeria. So we used to supply oil and gas chemicals. And how I was marketing them was I'll just write, get triethylene glycol in Port Harcourt, get monoethylene glycol in Port Harcourt, just do articles on that. And so many people call all day. And I just received the call. I just called, and do you have this? Okay, supply to me. So I supply to them. Very simple. So I didn't have a warehouse, but I was making a lot more money than people who had warehouses because I had I had that advantage with technology and all that. So a lot of people, business owners, used to ask me questions. So how are you doing this? How are you able to do this? We have our salespeople go out to companies every day and try to market, yet we don't get as much volume as you do. So I kept asking this question. So I'm like, so in 2018, I started this business, Target ICT. So the business was like, okay, see, I'm answering this question. So I should actually be able to charge people for answering this question. So Target ICT is a way.
you got the UK mindset, man. You got the UK mindset.
Charge for everything.
Charge for everything. Yeah. Got it. So you do help people with technology. And how big is your business today, or is it like worldwide, or is it only based on your country, or how big is it?
Okay, so the business was I started the business when I was living in Leicester back in 2018. That's in the UK, so it's actually a UK registered business. I pay taxes in the UK. Happy choice. But I think what I realized was taxes in the UK are actually more friendly for businesses, not for people. For businesses, taxes are actually more friendly for businesses. So I think what I have now is perfect. I pay my business taxes in the UK. I pay my personal taxes in Nigeria. And I'm living La Vida Loca. So the business basically serves, most of my clients are in the US. I have a few in Canada. I don't really have that much in the UK, but most are in the US, Canada. I think the US is practically the biggest market for everything right now.
I don't think you'd expect clients from UK. They are struggling to eat. They are struggling to pay rent.
I think my most in Nigeria, most people's perception of people in the UK is that people in the UK are very stingy.
They are.
I actually got to understand why.
Because they just don't have any other option, man. Right? So how many employees do you have now? Or is it just you?
Okay. Yeah, so my the full-time employee I have is my assistant, my executive assistant. So that one handles my schedule, my calendar, all those annoying things for me. But what I learned from the other businesses was that it's better to work with freelancers for most things.
Yes, I agree with you.
It is because
yeah, but also for a job, yeah, but also for a business that's established in UK, it's better to work with freelancers.
It is because like when I had those four businesses at the same time, those people I talked about coming to the office and piling their work on me were all full-time people. And I realized you get the most experience, you get the most efficient people from the most efficient results from freelancers. So what I do these days, most of my projects, the people working on projects for me, most people that work for me, they're all freelancers. They are really the best at what they do. And, you know, when they're the best at what they do, most of them will refuse, they will outright refuse to come and work full-time for you. So, I have different freelancers for each project category or these things. So I just say, okay, if we have this project, this person works on it, then most of what I do is project manage if I have to. So that's basically to make sure that the results are what I want,
but also it also feels like if you work with freelancers, they tend to finish projects on time or before time.
Yes, right? because they are not waiting for. I think one thing I've noticed with people working full time is most times they just want to do the bare minimum each day to justify that salary. at the end of the month. So
yeah, because it also that's how the corporate is designed, right?
Yes.
You know, because you're asking them to stay for so many hours rather than finishing the work. So they're like,
exactly.
Yeah, man, fuck you. You know, I ain't doing the work with you. Yeah, because I feel like, you know, I don't know in Nigeria, but in India, it's the same case. You know, there are contractors who are in real estate. And if you give them the contract of the full house, they'd probably build it in like 2 to 3 months. And if you hire labor to build a house, it will take you nearly a year. And you would go crazy, you know.
Yeah,
you would
because
go
you're
crazy
paying the laborers because... daily pay. So
yes.
They need as many
also
days.
Also, it's like the quality of work is shit. You know, you have to monitor everything. But if you give it to a contractor, you know, he gets it done in two to three months and... it's quality work because otherwise you won't get paid.
You won't get paid, exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think for small businesses, freelancers are the best way, right? But it also makes sense to have one or two full-time employees, right? As you grow the brand, because as you said, you know, you cannot be the fire service all the time. You know? Right. In the future, you would probably hire one or two experts who would work for you for full-time, who do project management. And you just be living your life, right?
looking for new clients, basically.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So, do you do your own marketing or do you outsource it?
I tried to outsource marketing for a bit, but it wasn't really getting me the results I wanted. And I was spending a lot on that. And I realized, like I said, before now, I used to have businesses where I'm good at writing ads. I can write ads that work because all those businesses, yeah, the ads were really like, back then I used to do like 10 times returns on my ads. So I really have that, this thing to really communicate, to really understand the buyer, know what they want from me and just give them just that's what they want. So I realized, okay, so I said, yes, I decided to just take over the marketing function myself. So I do my own.
Got it. So do you have closers in sales or do you just do it by yourself? Because I see that more and more service-based businesses hire closers as freelancers, you know, who close the deals on a daily basis. So do you feel that is something that you would do or, you know, you're just working on your own?
Yeah, I have someone that if I'm running adverts and maybe a lot of them, there's more than more calls than I can handle. Yeah, I have someone that I can always push them to that paper close deal on commission.
Yeah,
but if it's just when it's organic and all that, I handle that myself. That's why I got on the podcast, so I can be more comfortable having these discussions with people.
Yes. And what's your like typical ticket size? Is it how big is it? Is it like within $5,000 or is it what's the average ticket size on your business?
Okay. Our average ticket size for projects is between maybe $3,000 and $10,000 for the first payment if we're using dollars.
Got it. Okay, I would say that's a large ticket business, right? You're like, I could charge them more. You do not understand. I could charge them more. Yeah, I mean, you could charge them more if you had like a made in USA banner on your website.
veteran owned.
Yeah. That's the way you could charge them more.
I
felt it when I said yeah, because you're like, I could charge them more, man. I just don't choose to. Right. So do you think would you ever retire?
No.
Yeah.
No. No. Because I've actually seen, I enjoy what I do. Because when I talked about at a point where I had 4 businesses at a time, when I shut them down, when I decided to go for what I would focus on, What I do now is something I'll do. Okay, like I was doing it without getting paid before I realized that I can actually set up a company and charge people for the advice I was giving. So it's something, so it's something I can do without getting paid. It's something I really enjoy. I enjoy solving problems. Like I said, opening TVs and like the laptop behind, I've opened it more than once. so figuring out problems. I actually feel excitement, feel this thing when I figure out something difficult, solve something difficult and all that. So yeah, I don't think I'll retire. Maybe I'll tone down what I do, or maybe I'll be doing something different, but I think I'll get sick if I just sit doing nothing. But I can't imagine myself doing that.
Got it. So if you had to land a very big client, who would that be?
If I had to land a very big client, maybe it would be something like, a very big client I'll land would be maybe, let's say, Walmart. Yeah, maybe Walmart Got or it. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was afraid you'd say like Sam from, ChatGPT. Yeah,
I'm Sam's client.
Yeah, you know, he just asked for like $3 trillion investment, man. I don't know why people aren't investing.
And he'll probably spend it all on Nvidia.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so. How good are you with technology in terms of enjoying technology instead of using it?
See, how?
Like, you know, people who use ChatGPT for work, right? But people like me mess with it just for fun. Like, we try to tweak technology just to end, because that's how I enjoy technology, right? It's a game for me, to be honest. So, do you enjoy like tweaking technology?
Oh. I think that's part of me opening everything up. Like, if you look at my desk now, my desk is really messy. I have like a Bluetooth speaker here. I have two routers here. I have a couple I have a lot of things here. And like I have a multimeter here that I opened up because it was giving the wrong voltage. I'm trying to learn how to solder. So that's me. Nobody's paying me for all these things. So I've always been a gadget freak. Yes, I actually enjoy playing with same thing. I actually enjoy playing with technology. Software, not really. I think I'm more of, I play more with hardware than software. Hardware than software. And I think part of that is because for the past few years I've been having my eyes if I stay too long on the computer or on the phone, my eyes get inflamed. So maybe that's why I don't play with software that much. So I try to take as much time away from screens as I can.
So it's a biological hindrance rather than anything else.
If not, I would have probably left all these things. Like the multimeter, I think I've ruined it though. It's gone.
Yeah, got it. And yeah, if people want to reach out to you, how do they do that?
I think the only two things. I think back then I said I was an introvert, and I'm trying not to be an introvert. But at the end of the day, I think I am an introvert because I don't update any of my social media. So the only two things I update are my LinkedIn. That's just search for my name, Peter Banigo, on LinkedIn. I'm the only one with the name for now till they give birth to someone else. Then, then apart from my LinkedIn, my podcast, Tech Your Business. So, techyourbusinesspodcast.com. I think those are the only two things I update for now. Everything else is probably 2021.
Got it. So to my audience, guys, if you want to talk to Peter or anything about technology, just reach out to him on LinkedIn. Maybe he will respond. I don't know. if he's not busy, maybe. And if you're interested in automating or ITing your own business, please get in touch with him. All the both of the links will be in the description. So yeah, just go out there and check him out and see what he can bring into your business. Peter, any final words for my audience?
Okay, for your audience, I think one thing I'll share, one thing I learned is that focus is a really powerful thing. And that's something I learned going from four businesses to one business. Because when I had four businesses, I think, let's say, this month three will make money, then one will lose all the money the three made, or two will make money.
Yeah.
And two will lose all the money the other two made. So it was just pushing money from this business to this business. I didn't really have much to myself. I think I enjoy traveling a lot. I travel a lot. I like visiting new countries, new places, and all that. So it was when I moved to having only one business, I realized at the end of the day, focusing on one thing, I had more money to myself than having four businesses, which is what a lot of people say, okay, multiple streams of income and all that. But to me, it was the other way around. One business gave me the life I wanted compared to having four. So focus is a very powerful thing, and focus plus consistency is one thing everybody, whatever you want to do, if I've been on a fitness journey since January 2023. I was overweight. I think I mentioned it earlier. Since January 2023, there's no day I haven't walked less than 6,000 steps because my business makes me sick too much. So I started podcast, I did how many am I at? I'm at 2,500. So once we are done, I'll complete my 6,000. So every single day I do 6,000 steps, and I've lost, for the Americans, about 44 pounds for more than 44 Indians. Pounds for,
yeah, what about
for
Indians,
the Indians,
man?
More than 20 kilos.
Good.
For the
good.
Indians and Nigerians,
yes.
More than 20 kilos. Yeah. Doing that, going to the gym. So, I think the only thing that made that work is consistency, doing it every day. Because I've tried to lose the weight, I've tried to be fit so many times, but I do it 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and then I forget it and I go back to more worse than where I started. But at least for the past 2 years, consistency, focus, I've done so much more than I would have done being distracted and starting and stopping things. So focus, consistency, very important for everything, life, business, relationships, everything.
Got it. Thank you so much for being here, Peter. Thank you so much for, helping my audience learn a few things, right, about learning business or just life in general. And to my audience, thank you guys. This is the end of the episode. And until next episode, take care and bye-bye.
Thank you.